Please give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 31 of Geeking with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am a geeky mom. My daughter's back in school. Yay!
Yay!
I'm joined by Regina McMenemy, who is also a geeky mom. And your daughter is back in school, too?
Yes. Yay! She's kindergarten.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Kindergarten. Very exciting.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Also joined by resident dad Steven Dutzman, editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming, whose kids have been back in school for a few weeks.
Yeah, like two
lucky
weeks,
you.
I think. Yeah, you say lucky, but we just talked about what our morning routine has become now.
Right.
It's lucky and unlucky. it is different for me because I do not work in my home, so I understand that it is very different for you guys.
Yeah.
I know my place, so...
You mean working at home and having kids at home all summer? Like
that? It's like super different. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, kindergarten, Regina.
Kindergarten.
For some reason,
I
didn't realize she was going into kindergarten this year.
Yeah. Well, she didn't change school. She's at the same school. They do kindergarten at the same school. So, it doesn't feel like really a big change. But she is one of, there's three kindergartners and three younger kids. The youngest just turned three. So, yeah, it's a good span of age now. And we didn't have any, I should knock on wood just in case this doesn't continue. I didn't have any of the like transition back to school this year. Last year, she did a lot of separation anxiety and a lot of like discomfort and upset about it. And there has just been, it's been smooth as can be this year. So
nice.
I am really glad about that because I didn't know if I could take a couple of weeks of clinging to me as I went out the door. So
yeah, that's nice.
I think I mentioned previously that I'm teaching 4 days a week this semester. I usually only teach in person 2 days a week. And so I have to be on campus to teach by, like, 9. I teach at 10:30, but to prep, so I need to be there early. So, like, the transition time, if I had to, like, coax her into going to school, would have been horrible for me.
Wow. Look at you guys having to be places all early.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Because I work
I'm not quite as early. I mean, I don't get out of bed as early as Steven is talking about. I still get up at 7 or 7:30, so.
Yeah. Wow. All right. I'm not gonna.
You're gonna brag because you are a freelance writer and your daughter's in elementary school, so she has to like get on the bus at like 8:30.
Okay, she doesn't ride the bus.
Oh, okay,
but I have to take her to school. We live too close to the school to get a bus, which she is very disappointed about. And we walk when we can, but it's been raining, so there's no walking involved when it's raining. I don't have to get up as early as you guys, so.
That's all right. Your time will come. Or it won't.
I'm sure.
I'll live vicariously through you. I mean, it's one of those things you just get used to. It's worth noting that I did download the Dunkin' Donuts app. And it's getting a workout. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you do from the app? You just order it in advance?
Well, yeah, like I mean, you could if, like, I'm just weirdly anxious about you. Like, for someone who's, like, super into tech, like, ordering my food in advance is super weird for me. I don't know why. You would think that I wouldn't have a problem with that. But my issue is not ordering it. It's the anxiety of just walking in and taking it. Like, part of that is, like, I don't think I could do it.
Dunkin' Donuts,
they just leave it in a little thing and you just walk in, take it, and leave. You don't talk to anyone. They do that at Starbucks too with their app. You just walk. Now, some places, in downtown Hartford, which not like that's like Compton or anything, but in downtown Hartford, you have to come in and say your name and they'll give you your coffee. Mm. So it's a 2 second transaction as opposed to just walking in and taking it because they've had a problem, obviously, with people just walking in and taking whatever coffee looked good and leaving.
Right.
But at Dunkin' Donuts, there are pink labels attached to the bag and that just tells you your order number. And I know I could just do it, but the real advantage is that you accumulate points that earns you free coffee, but you have to pay with your little app and QR code. And historically, I didn't go there often enough for it to matter, but now that school has started, I earn points pretty quickly. Also, they give you quests, so you can basically...
Quests?
They're not called quests, but, like, dude, for real. They're like, hey, if you come today, because the Patriots are playing, we'll give you 6 times the points for your order. And I was like, oh, sir. Challenge accepted. So I'm wearing my... I'm being smart, I don't mind once I do it. But by Thursday, it gets pretty old. And I like the weekend. But, yeah. Yeah, it's okay. So all the parents that get up super early, cheers to you.
Cheers.
For sure. Games. So I went to PAX West. I don't know if I mentioned I was going to PAX
West. You didn't. I had no idea you were going.
Right.
You wrote, like, an article that was like, yo, PAX sucks. And then you went. I mean, it was a wonderful article for GeekWire, but you, but more or less, not to plug your own stuff, but can we plug your stuff? Can we plug that stuff here? Is it cool?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dude,
yeah,
I
wrote an editorial on GeekWire. I did not say that PAX sucks.
I mean, not...
there are issues.
Listen, in 2019, if a games adjacent writer is critical of a thing, they are saying that it sucks. That's like how the entire internet operates. Didn't you learn that? Or did you like, you know, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, my issue is that, so the only interesting part of the show is the indie games. Like, I will walk straight past all the big publisher stuff, you know, which takes up most of the floor, which is my problem. It's like, if they could just re-divvy up the floor, they could make more room for more indies, because the indie mega booth is crazy crowded there. It actually was not as bad this year as it was last year. Last year, we could not even walk through it. That's how bad it was. But it was a little better this year. They had their mini booth arranged better. The mini booth part has 12 developers in it in a very small space, and the computers were sort of staggered in places last year. This year they had them all facing outward, like doing like a semicircle with all of them facing out. That was much, much better. So it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. When I wrote my article, I saw some really cool things. Again, in the indie mega booth, there is a... I don't know, you guys may have heard of it. It's called... I believe it's called Calico. It's a cat cafe game. Uh-huh. It's in development. So I got to meet the developer of that, and Anna played it a little bit. That was pretty cool. Isaac played this game where you're a programmer.
Sounds all right.
Did he give them notes? wrong.
But it's funny because it's wrong. Yeah, no. No, there's the thing that's funny about it is that the programmer has a cat, and, like, the cat fixes all the bugs. Yeah. It's just really weird.
Handy.
Is that team, like, is that game, like, developed in Washington State? Because that sounds like a game that would be made by a programmer that was high.
No, I think they were from Russia.
I
have to double check. No, they were definitely from Russia because they gave us some candy, Russian candy. Mm. Like, that was their thing. They're like, oh, here, we have candy from Russia.
Sounds great.
Like,
okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was pretty funny. There was this game called Neon Noodles, in which you are programming robots to make food, which was kind of neat. There's also this game called... I don't even know how to pronounce the name, and I keep messing it up. It's like Nibbly. It's an AR game where, you know, you're finding little cute things in the environment, and you scan things to feed them because they eat, like, random stuff, like shoes and, you know, things of that nature. But one thing that's funny is that Anna was playing that game, and she has, I don't know if you've seen, these shoes that have like little beads in the bottom that sort of like jump, you know, they'll move around when you're walking. And so she scanned her shoes and it came up in the game as cake. And she's like, it's my shoes are cake. And the developer was like, oh, it probably saw those beads and thought they were sprinkles.
I mean, you know, yeah. that might have been worth some QA notes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you scanned other people's shoes, it was fine. It came up with shoes.
I know. So
seems like a very specific kind of shoe that they had an issue with.
But it was an issue with.
Yeah, it was very cute. Huh. It was cool. It's going to have, like, you go places and do stuff, like Pokemon and stuff, but it's also going to have the sort of offline mode where you can just play in your house if you want to, which I think is really cool because sometimes it would be nice to just play Harry Potter in the house and, you know, not have to worry about it. But,
yeah.
So that's the stuff that I remember. I went to a panel about games and mental health, which was cool. I was actually, it didn't really meet my expectations. My expectations were probably a little wrong going into it.
Oh.
But it was basically just these people sort of sharing their experiences, and I thought that they were going to talk about, like, data.
Research.
Like, yeah, research and things of that nature, but there wasn't any of that. It was just them sharing their experience, so. But it was all right.
So, you wrote a piece about that
for GeekWire, too. Yes, I wrote that for GeekWire as well. So that was PAX. It was cool. It was not as bad as last year. Trying to think if there was anything. I mean, there were cool games in the Indie Mega Booth. What else? Oh, we got slimes. That's the thing I wanted to bring up. So, you know, there's a game, Slime Rancher. It's a cute little game. It came out, I don't know, a couple years ago. Right, Steven? You know this game.
Slime Rancher, yeah.
Slime Rancher, yeah.
Slime Rancher's so cool. I don't know why it's not on Switch cool. yet.
Yeah, it is cool.
Because they're making $1 trillion.
It would. But I did not realize the extent that of its popularity in that they made plushies of all of the different slimes. And Anna's been crazy into that game lately. So we bought, like, all of them.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's right. At least you didn't have to buy all the Pokemon plushies.
Right. Yeah, no, they're made by the same company that made that Goat Simulator stuffy that I got at Emerald City Comic Con. So I think it's called Fans by Fans or Fans for Fans or something like that. I would expect that they'll pop up in one of your cons that you go to, Steven, here pretty soon.
That sounds cool, because I always have to come home with a stuffy for Megan. Always.
Right.
I can't.
Yep, it's a requirement, isn't it?
Man. Well, every year I ask. What kind of merch do you guys want me to bring home? And, like, Maggie is always, Dad, a stuffy. And then Evan is always like, I don't know, man, whatever. And then he never likes whatever I bring. And then Jake is always like, Dad, can I have a hoodie for some obscure character? And then I have to, like,
hunt.
Well, I mean, fortunately, last year he wanted Overwatch crap, so that's not hard to find.
Oh, that's easy.
But it's,
Yeah.
You know, he's 10.
Yeah.
He likes weird stuff. Which is, I mean, coming from...
I don't know where he would get that
from. But you think that... You're right. He gets it from me, obviously. But, like, I don't know. My wife likes some weird stuff. I'm a little punchy, everybody listening. It's midnight-ish
late
on the East Coast, right. So I'm like blasting this Dr. Thunder.
So all of our faithful listeners will
they'll know.
Recognize
they'll know.
A shift.
Yeah. Anyway,
all right. So that was PAX. There was a Nintendo Direct that I didn't watch.
No, there was such a Nintendo Direct. Do you want me to go?
Oh yeah. Yes, go.
Okay, everybody.
I haven't watched it either.
How about this? They total non sequitur. Before I go into this, are we going to talk about Miss Monopoly? Do you guys even know about Miss Monopoly? Okay,
no.
Let me fill you in on Miss Monopoly when we're done with this. because you guys are either going to explode or or not. I don't know. We'll find out. Okay. Either way, I'm kind of curious because it's not my fault that it exists. So telling you about it, you can't get mad at me. Okay, yeah. So Nintendo Direct, here's some highlights. First off, they lied to us. And this is what's really interesting. And normally, Nintendo sends out the press releases and they tell you exactly what you're going to get. And maybe they deviate from what they tell you about a little bit. They'll be like, all right, we're talking about games coming in 2018. And then there'll be like one game, maybe two, maybe like a third hidden in a montage that are like early 2019. And they're like, oop, we scoot, you know, we lied a little bit. No.
Yeah.
This was a 40-minute presentation that was going to talk about 2019 titles, including Luigi's Mansion 3 and Pokemon. Luigi's Mansion was a one-minute trailer. That's it.
Mm.
Where they basically explained that this mansion hotel that he's going to is like Epcot Center because every floor is a different theme, including like a restaurant that's themed after ancient Egypt, and there's a disco and whatever. So basically to assure people that there's like going to be level variety, which is fine, great. But that was a minute. It was a 40-minute Nintendo Direct, by the way. And then they told us, and then they gave us 5 minutes of Pokemon news, and they were all kind of like, so it was, they lied, because then they went and they started telling us all sorts of other stuff, many of which was 2020 games, and I was like, what the, not that I was mad, because I love Nintendo stuff, but
you're just confused.
I was confused because they've never, lied is the wrong word.
Deviate. But they don't deviate.
Yeah. So here's the big stuff. The first one is they led off with the fact that Overwatch is coming to the Switch officially on October 15th, which is also the same day that The Witcher 3 is launching on the Switch. Mm. So I guess pick
it's
your...
a big Switch day.
Yeah, pick your poison, I guess. Then, I mean, I'm not buying either of them. I own those games already. But my son was like, so Dad, we're buying Overwatch on the Switch, right? And I was like, guys, really? Like, unless they give us Nintendo... Like, I was hoping for Nintendo skins, and they did not announce those. Like, that would have been awesome if you get, like, a Wario skin for Roadhog, or dress Tracer up like Waluigi or something. Like, that would be hilarious. Then I would do it. But you can't. So... they made an announcement for Smash Brothers. They released Banjo-Kazooie, which was kind of cool. And then they announced the next DLC fighter, which is number 4 in the 5-pack for season 1 of the Smash DLC. It's Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury. Did you ever play Fatal Fury back in the day?
Never played it, but I know.
Okay, you know who Terry... I mean, you probably recognize... If you saw a picture of Terry Bogard, you'd be like, oh, it's that dude from that thing. Like, you just... He's not exactly iconic like Ryu, but... The way they did it is, and it's probably the best Smash reveal trailer ever, is they just showed the invite, like, as they've been giving Smash Brothers invitations to characters, and so they've just had it floating on the wind through all these, like, this montage of SNK games, and it was all, like, reasonable characters that could very possibly have been in Smash, and they kept, like, trying to jump to get the letter and then falling and not getting it, and eventually Terry Bogard picked it up. It was very cool. But to fast forward to the end, they had a 20-minute live stream with Sakurai, where on that live stream, and how about this for a world we live in, Sakurai, a game director for freaking Nintendo, told people to buy an Xbox game and play it. Like, on a Nintendo Direct, he was like...
Okay.
He was like, yeah, guys, if you want to play Banjo-Kazooie, you should... But you should go download it on your Xbox and play it. And I just feel weird by that, but I'm, you know, whatever. Other things that they announced a free-to-play Kirby game, which is basically Monster Hunter. My kids have been playing it. It's basically Kirby Monster Hunter. You team up with 4 players. You fight big bosses. They gave more details about Little Town Hero, which is a game by Game Freak. It's a role-playing game about a little guy who can't ever leave his hometown. And you battle monsters with ideas. I don't know how that works.
Ooh, that's cool.
But it sounds cool. It's only $25 and it comes out in October. And then I'm burying the lead. Easily the biggest news is that they added Super Nintendo games to Nintendo Switch Online subscriptions at no additional charge, with a list of 20 games.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That is, in, I mean, 20 games, but it includes Super Mario World 1 and 2, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Super Metroid, like some real, like, bangers. And then, like, there's some, like, garbage Jaleco games, because you can't put out all the good stuff at once. They had to save a little bit. So, like, of course, like, Brawl Brothers and crap is on there, but there's a really, really good list. Funnily enough, the word super appears, like, 15 times in that 20-game list. But, yeah, and they added them at no additional charge. The only potentially negative change is that they're no longer releasing a regular cadence of two games a month like they were before.
Mm.
The updates, they have said, will be regular, but not on any set schedule. And there are some people that were really mad by that because, you know, nerds don't like change. I'm fine with it because, realistically, this means that because some of these games are, like, legit an event. Like, when they inevitably put, like, Chrono Trigger on that, that's, like, worthy of inclusion in a Nintendo Direct. Like, legitimately.
Yeah.
Whereas, on the current schedule, it would just be an Instagram post. And I just feel like that's not enough pomp and circumstance for some of these games. And realistically, they're not all going to be bangers. So, like, and they haven't been. You know, like, some of the months, the Nintendo games have been light. And so I've gone months in between finding games that I give a crap about anyway. So for me, this is no change. And they gave us 5 of the best games ever made. And then, like, 15 other things. I mean, if you think about it, right? Like, Super Mario World, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Super Metroid. Like, those are, without question, 3 of the best video games of all time. Or 4 of the best video games of all time. You know? So, we're fine, everybody. Also, they were free. And I know some people are like, well, they're not technically free. I was already paying. I got to pay for it. I'm like, dude, you were already paying for it. You were going to renew because you were going to forget. So now, you're fine. Because all of our Nintendo Switch Onlines are set to auto-renew for $20. And it's $20. So we're never going to remember to turn it off. And so now,
you're not even going to see it on your bill and, like,
you won't even notice it. It'll be like $20. It's like, oh, that's my coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
I put a lot of espresso in my coffee, so $20.
Okay.
You know.
I was going to say.
I get up at 5:30 in the morning, Nicole. So anyway, they announced a bunch of other stuff. Much of it was just neat.
Okay.
Neat.
I mean, it was cool, though.
So they have it. I think it's tomorrow, I think, unfortunately, that they're talking about that crazy...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it is.
Thing.
The hoop thing.
it's probably... that's the 12th. That's tomorrow.
Yeah. Ugh. It looks really weird.
Yeah. The Wii Balance Board looked real stupid, too. But I don't...
Fit. Balance the board remind me of, like, a step from Step Aerobics.
That's true. Right? I mean, this does look a little weird. With that said, I mean, whatever. You know, until we know what it is, I'm just gonna say
it's not gonna pass judgment.
Well, I mean, I've already kind of passed judgment because I think it's weird, but I don't think it's bad yet.
Yeah, that's all right though.
My hope is that it's an exercise thing. Because if it's an exercise thing, then I'm cool with it, because exercise things just by default look really stupid. Like, case in point, shake weights and stuff. Like, exercise equipment just looks kind of stupid, so whatever. My hope is that that's what it is. Because if it's for fitness, then whatever. Fitness people do stupid crap for the sake of that. I hope it's not like a party game.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it could work either way, based on the stuff that they were showing.
I mean, you had some... I guess there weren't really... With the Wii Fit was there.
Well, I mean, there were some things. Party they used games. Like a skateboard. Like they used it for some stuff, but it was primarily Wii Fit. Which is really surprising, actually, that they didn't use it for more, considering the fact that the Wii Fit itself was so wildly popular. But that was the issue with the Wii U in itself, is that, or not the Wii U, the Wii, is that so many people bought it for one thing and had no interest in buying other things for it. It's like, no, I want a bowl. Why would I want Legend of Zelda? Like, that's dumb. You know, so the same thing, they bought Wii Fit because they wanted a cool robot scale that would show them how fat they were. That's why I bought it. You know, and it would low-key judge me if I didn't play the stupid games every day. And so, like, this thing, you know. So, it'll be interesting to see what it is.
Yeah, it looks really strange.
Yeah, and they didn't include it in the Direct. That this was quietly announced without even a press release. At least one didn't go to me. I'm sure they maybe sent that to somebody. But with no fanfare, no social posts or anything. It just went up onto YouTube. We'll see you on the 12th. So, like, they really clearly did not want to talk about it during the Direct.
Yeah.
Which I think is a...
I wonder why that is.
I think it's because they didn't want to mix the message. Because that would have been the news. Like... The news would have been, Nintendo announces wacky bullshit during their Nintendo Direct, instead of the real news being, no, you can make curry in Pokemon and their Super Nintendo games on the Switch. Like, they wanted that to be the news, and everything would have been buried under speculation about this stupid hoop thing.
Right.
And they're trying to sell some games.
Yes. All right, so...
That's it.
Was that basically it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so what is this Miss Monopoly thing that you were talking about?
Okay. Okay, so it's made by Hasbro. Like, so this is
like... it's a game.
Which is important because it is a super... Like, this is fully branded Monopoly. It's not like some off-brand, like, knockoff. So, Miss Monopoly is... intended to focus on the gender pay gap and on the importance of supporting women as inventors. So, the big thing is instead of the mascot being Rich Uncle Pennybags, which is, believe it or not, that's the Monopoly dude's name, the main character is his niece, which I think is cool. It's fine. That's fine. So I think it goes about this in two very different ways. Because the way it deals with the gender pay gap is it just makes female players, it just gives them more money.
Oh.
Which is not, that's not actually the solution. In fact, it makes the solution you guys know all the reasons why this is bad, and anyone listening to this show likely knows all the reasons why that is not how that works. With that said, instead of buying property, you are investing in, like, supporting women inventors. So you're pouring your money into helping women make things and, like, investing in their future and education and their ability to create. So I think that is cool thematically because the way you win is to support women. I think that's cool. They also got rid of all the trains because they're ride shares. So you're basically getting in an Uber pool on the trains. So, like, I think it is, I don't know. I mean, it's better than the socialism Monopoly that they put out that was a parody of itself while being a parody of itself while also not being a parody of itself because it was terrible because, you know, like... that was just not great. So this one, I think, has good intentions, but it feels like what's the term for like when they just put pink on it and call it like the girl version? There's like a thing you've written about that, Regina, I'm sure, right? I forget. There's like a word for it. I can't come up with it because it's 1:15 and I'm stupid. But
I mean, you know, But the general term is just gendering, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're the, like, there were the pink games or whatever in the 80s, and...
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a specific word for that process other than stupid.
Okay, I mean, there's that. They made... Yeah. So also, female players get... They start with more money at the beginning. So, that's like, just, that, which is not...
I just don't...
Which isn't the solution. I...
Like, how freaking tone deaf is this? Like... Did they not have anybody like research? Anybody? Like, you just had to talk to one person in gender studies who would have been like, no, no.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey. But now.
Yeah, I get it.
I might bring it to women's studies class tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's available on Walmart at Walmart for $20. You could play it. That would be a cool class, actually. Because you could, while you're playing, you could use it as all as opportunities. It turns out, I was reading some of it incorrectly, the actual places that you are buying are things that women have invented.
Oh, so it's like history.
History is probably not, like, the best. So, I don't know if history is the right word, but, like, recognition of... achievement, but I don't know if I would call it history, because, like, one of the things...
Okay.
One of them is, like, a retractable dog leash. But, like, chocolate chip cookies and stem cell isolation are both are Park Place and Boardwalk, respectively. So, like, you know, like... Which, I mean, legit, I think those two are very important things.
I think my forehead creases just got, like... deeper.
But then they have like an acupressure. So some of the other things that are an acupressure tool, shapewear, which I think I know what that is. I could probably use some. I'm sure they make that for dudes. I'm sure they do. So it's available right now at Walmart for $20. So if you want to buy a copy, expense it to the university if you can, and then and then tear it apart with your class. I think that's at least a day. and you know,
well, I have 40 students in that class, so
oh, wow.
I'd have to buy
that's
like,
a lot.
Oh yeah,
teams.
Very
just
popular
put everybody
class.
In teams.
well, I'd have to buy multiple, you know, versions of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Have
you
that
could
many
get the,
people play
you could get
it,
the but... socialism one, too, and then just have two things played at the side by side. I don't think the socialism one is super relevant, but it's equally, probably more terrible than this one. This one sounds like it started as a good idea. Hey, let's make a version of Monopoly that addresses the gender pay gap and supports women inventors. And then the person designing it was just like... was just asleep at the wheel. Maybe got like stoned in the middle of it. I mean, they're in Massachusetts. I mean,
or
they were near Massachusetts,
care.
Or didn't care and just phoned it in.
They yeah. were, you know, assigned it and were like, I don't want to write this game. How bad can we make this? Okay, here we go.
Yeah. I hope that Mr. Pennybags' niece ends up being a character in other versions of Monopoly. I think that's another good idea. Let's expand the Monopoly universe. I don't know, dude. Whatever.
So does she have a name?
The article that I'm reading does not say that she has a name.
Okay.
Just says that it is his niece. Being that I know the editor-in-chief of the website that I am reading, I am certain that she would have put this character's name if it existed.
Yeah.
I'm sure it exists. I bet you it's like in the instructions, but like we don't have this.
Right.
Game.
Right.
Okay. I doubt they're sending this out to reviewers. I don't think they send Monopoly out to reviewers. They send Monopoly Gamer out to reviewers, not this. Because this will just
I got,
go.
I got a Xbox One or something Monopoly I got sent for review when I was at Pixelkin. One of the many versions of Monopoly.
Video game Monopoly is way better than like board game Monopoly.
Monopoly's the worst.
Monopoly itself is terrible, but I think it's better in video game form because at least then it's interesting to look at because, you know, like stupid animations.
Yeah, there's things moving.
Yeah, listen, I would still rather, like, literally sleep on a bed of Cheetos. But, like, you know? Like, but if I had to play Monopoly...
Well, I always say that the two games that made my game group come to blows were Monopoly and Mario Kart.
I mean, that's okay.
If you want to make your friends fight, these are the games you play.
Yeah. I mean...
So now I want to fight Monopoly for a completely different reason, but, you know.
Now you... Well, see, before you wanted to fight your friends because of Monopoly. Now you literally right. want to fight the personification of Monopoly. Like, you wish it could be, like, anthropomorphized so you could beat its ass.
Right.
That's okay. Yeah. I get it. So, anyway, I told you about Ms. Monopoly. I read about it, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to bring this up on Geeking with the Moms. Let's get Regina all fired up. I think they... can we give them, like, a C-plus for the idea?
Effort?
I'll give... I don't know. No. They don't get a C-plus for effort.
Nope. Oh, right. Okay,
they get a C-plus for someone having the good idea, because I think it's a good idea. No. -8 execution points. You don't even think it was a good idea?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I kind of feel like the whole thing trivializes, like, you know, I'm all about, like, games as empowerment, but, like, taking something that's a real-life, like, thing that people face, you know, in terms of equity and turning it into a game that, like, I love the idea of a game that would highlight female inventors. Like, I love that. Like, is there a timeline, you know, a version of Timeline that, like, focuses on female inventors? That would be fantastic, because Timeline, like, focuses on the timeline and on history and how things relate to each other. And you'd actually maybe learn something from it. But just, like, these random, like, inventions and...
Okay. So, fair enough. I will not give it, I will not give it any points for having an idea.
Okay.
I depend on Regina to tell me whether or not things like this are a good idea, because I don't know. Because I'm stupid, and right now I'm tired. So Regina can tell me, and I'll just do what she says. She's the doctor. Like, you know, I've said it before. People don't do enough respecting experts. I'm all about respecting experts, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, basically, ever. So, being told what to do, great. Okay, Ms. Monopoly, bad. I kind of knew it was bad to begin with, but thank you for giving me the language so that now I know officially.
Sure. Yes.
Monopoly, bad.
Glad.
Although I should probably write about it, because I bet you it'll get lots of traffic.
Yeah, probably. I was actually just thinking maybe I should write something up.
You definitely should. Here's what you could probably
do. This is why this is wrong.
Here's what you could probably do. You could probably take this podcast... Play it on your phone into your microphone with Siri running,
dictation.
And like just turn it into text, and you're mostly of the way there.
That's true.
See, I'm just a genius. So anyway, that's Ms. Monopoly. What else happened? There was a bunch of other crap, I think, but
in games,
I mean, you know, not, you know what? Now that I think about it, probably not. There's been some stuff. We'll have stuff to talk about. In a couple of weeks, because The Last of Us 2 is having a preview event. I'm kind of excited about that. Can you play The Last of Us, or does it make you throw up?
I don't know. I actually never played the first one.
Oh, okay.
I know.
That's right. You're an Xbox fan, girl.
Totally missed it. Totally.
It. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
No,
that's... I just get... I'm sorry, that was... I almost got that one, and she almost let me just sneak it in and, like, didn't respond to it.
She caught it.
She caught it. She's like, oh, man, Steve, you're an ass. I know. It's fine. It came out at a weird time, also. Because you were, like, the managing editor of a website when it came out, right? Were you in charge of Pixelkin when The Last of Us came out?
I don't know. When did it come out?
I don't remember. But it came out, like, the day before E3.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know. It may have, I think it may have sunken into the void between when I was at IGN and when I was at Pixelkin. There are so many games that came out during that period that just completely slipped off my radar because of having a very young child. And I only could play when she was napping. So, which I tried to play Dragon Age Inquisition in the, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour increments, like a day. And I'm like, I can't, I can't do this.
No, like, you just like, yeah. That I was like when I
don't remember what is going on. I can't remember the story.
Yeah, I re-upped my WoW subscription when my daughter was like under two. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll play in the evenings. This will be great. And then I'm like, what is happening? And I play for like an hour and a half and have to get up and go like settle her down again. And I'm like, I mean,
that's what baby carriers are for, guys. Like I had we've talked about this. I had the thing. And right. So I would lean. It helped that I was a fat dude, so I could just like lean back and he could sleep on my gut, and then I could play. Oh man, those were the days.
I played. Yeah. The Tomb Raider reboot and BioShock Infinite. Those were two games I played when she was a baby because that was right when we moved to Seattle from San Francisco. But other than that, I don't remember anything.
Okay, so The Last of Us came out before that, I think. But, yeah, it was probably while you were dealing with super young child. So that's going to be a big deal when it gets announced.
Yes.
You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're also, you know, it's fall now, so we're going to be approaching the big holiday release.
The big holiday announcements, man.
Like the holiday release, like avalanche has definitely started. Like there were five big games last week between Control and the new Monster Hunter, and this week is Borderlands. Last week was NBA 2K, which by the way has a casino in it. Did you guys see that? NBA 2K20, you know, the basketball game, has slot machines and a roulette wheel to help that you fund with your microtransactions to help earn stuff in the My Team mode. They actually put out a trailer that had a streamer like really excitedly playing like all the casino mini games in the My Team mode, and it was ratioed on YouTube so hard they had to delete it. Like, it got, like, two thumbs up to, like, 4,000 or 5,000 thumbs down in, like, 15 minutes. And they eventually marked it private, and then they had to take it down. The modes are still in there. Now, the only positive thing is that they are limited to the My Team mode, which is, like, the NBA 2K version of FIFA Ultimate Team. So it's only that mode, and so if you just want to go in and like play basketball or play the story mode or something, you don't even see them if you don't go into those menus. But still, like 2K, like what you doing, man? Like governments across the world are trying to limit potential gambling in video games. And when it's loot boxes, at least then there can be a nuanced discussion about whether or not they are gambling. For example, I don't believe that they are. Some people believe that they do. And we can have a very nuanced and technical discussion about it. I can't do the same thing for a freaking slot machine, you morons. So it's like, the number one thing we don't want is the United States government to regulate things, right? Because, like, man, do you understand, like, just think about it. And they're just, they're basically just like, come on, just do it. Just regulate us. Do it. And they keep doing this. Eventually they will. We have the ESRB and things are smooth as silk because we did it. We chilled. We made our own rating system. Like, this is really stupid. It's just super tone deaf and it makes me want to like bang my head on a wall. Because they're just, it's just going to muck everything up, man. Think about how much expense...
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I get it. They have a responsibility to their shareholders. That's, like, part of the deal. Like, that is their job. Is they muck, you know... I can't get mad at anybody for doing their job.
Yeah, but still.
Damn, guys.
That's still...
Wow.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard about
that. Yeah, it's really stupid. I recorded an EFG daily commute about it the other day because I was just, like, kind of heated. And, of course, gamers are responding to it, but the problem is, like, other than this tacked-on stuff into this mode, like, the rest of the game is fundamentally great. And so it's hard for me because, like, I always recommend the annual sports titles.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, from a family perspective, it's like if your kid really likes basketball, like, that's a perfect... That's a slam dunk. I didn't know if you guys would get that because it was a sports ball reference.
I understood that reference.
Oh, wow. cap, thank you. So
yes, exactly. That's what I was trying going for.
I heard that. I saw the okay. You didn't put the GIF in Skype, but I definitely saw it.
No.
Like, I definitely saw
it. Okay, good.
In my mind's eye. But it's like I always recommend it. It's like if you're a football family, you get Madden. If you love soccer, you get FIFA. Yeah. And it feels weird to recommend a game with a freaking slot machine in it. With that said,
yeah,
it is relegated to that one mode, so I'm not super freaked out, but it's just, come on, 2K. Come on, guys. Yeah. Like, I have to caveat all my times being like, wow, this game is great with, as long as you don't play the My Team mode. It's like, can you save me the words? You know, I know they're free, but like, can you save me the space? So anyway, yeah.
Movies and TV.
So the big thing that happened since the last time we talked is that the D23, is that what it called? Yep. The D23 Expo?
Yeah.
Happened. And there's a crazy amount of stuff announced with regards to Disney Plus. Probably the biggest one, at least in our house, is the Obi-Wan Kenobi series that's going to be coming. Because we were very much hoping that there was going to be a movie about that, but... You know, it's going to be serious.
They cut the movies, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because Solo didn't make bazillions of dollars, they cut all the Star Wars story movies. So I could go on and on. Yeah, very stupid. And Solo was good, so.
I know. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is probably any better.
Probably. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they can do more in a series than they can in a movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, because they have more time.
And you have firsthand experience with television shows that have the same budget as a movie.
Right. Yes. So besides that, there's going to be more live-action Marvel shows. Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk. I didn't watch the whole thing. So is there actually a She-Hulk?
So Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight are part of, like, Phase 6. Okay. Phase 5, the big difference is they don't have, between Phase 5 and Phase 6, they don't have an Avengers movie. There's no, like, team-up crossover thing. They just have all the stuff that was announced for Phase 5, Phase 5.
I don't know. When you say the phase whatever, it makes no sense to me anyhow.
Well, they've been announcing them. It was always like Phase 1 led up to Avengers, and then Phase 2 led up to Age of Ultron, and then there was Phase 3. So I don't even know anymore, and also it's late. So I'm sure there's someone yelling at their car radio right now. Someone's going to they're going to find us on Twitter and be like, you morons. But like,
just add us and let us know.
There is a phase that's starting with Black Widow and the Eternals next year, and that's going to include, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision. And then later on, there are going to be, in another phase, there will be Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight. And if... The noise you heard randomly within the last couple of weeks that sounded like a nerd, like, totally freaking out and causing, like, an earthquake in Connecticut was when they announced a Moon Knight series, because I really like Moon Knight.
Yeah, I don't even know who
that is. No one does. That's what's so funny about Moon Knight is, like, he is the deepest of deep-ass Marvel cuts. So Moon Knight is a street-level superhero who happens to have multiple personalities the Egyptian god of... One of the Egyptian gods of death is, like, in his head.
Okay.
So with that being his, like, shtick, and he has magic powers, but not, like, Captain Marvel magic powers. He has, like, magic powers. He is, like, Batman. He just has a secret identity, and he fights street-level superheroes and occasionally gets wrapped up in really ridiculous nonsense. He's also, like, super meme-worthy because there's a video, if you look it up, it's a doctored, my understanding is it's doctored, cell from a comic where he's yelling at Dracula asking where his effing money is. And that picture is just everywhere.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's from a comic or not, because I haven't really dug deep. I love Moon Knight, but I don't read all of the comics. I just think he's cool. He's cool. And he's perfect for a TV show.
You fake nerd boy.
I'm definitely a fake nerd boy. It's cool. But She-Hulk, of those three, I think She-Hulk is the one that is going to be the coolest. Because She-Hulk is, it could very well be a procedural, like, it could be like Law and Order in the Marvel Universe. Because She-Hulk is a lawyer. That's like her job. And then when she's not, she's a giant green chick who, like, is the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like,
the thing that was, like, going through my head is, like, okay, she's a lawyer. But, like, when she turns, like, I was thinking of Phoenix Wright, like, with the yelling.
Yeah. I mean, when objection. She freaks out. So, depending on, the thing with her is, I don't think she's ever not Hulked out. So, she's just, like, a...
Okay. Yeah, she's always
so
green.
She's, like, a 7-foot tall, like, super buff chick in a business suit. Like, she's an attorney, and, like, she's super smart, and she knows her stuff, but she's also, like, freaking, you know, it'd be, it's just, the way they have played her over the years, she is almost as strong as the actual Hulk, but she's actually smart. Whereas, you know, Hulk is...
I'm sure Bruce Banner would take offense to that, but yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, but that's been the whole bit, is that, like, when Hulk hulks out, right. She's like, you know, Hulk smash, whereas she's yeah. like, yeah. Oh, right. Please.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It'll be, I mean, man, I'm excited about them, but I don't give a crap about anything. I just want to watch WandaVision, because it's going to be a 50s era sitcom with those two characters. Mm. Yeah. Sounds great.
There's going to be another Star Wars spinoff called The Mandalorian. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I might actually watch that one.
Yeah, it's neat. So, let's see, what else happened? Well, D23, we knew that the Eternals movie was coming out. They, like, announced, most of it had been cast and announced, but they announced a couple people, most important to me at least.
Yep, I was waiting for this.
Was Kit Harington, he's going to be playing, what is the guy's
name? The Black Knight.
It's the Black Knight, but he's playing, like, they haven't said he's the Black Knight.
I mean, yeah, but whatever, he's the Black Knight. He said his character.
Dane Whitman.
Yeah, he's Dane Whitman. That's fine. He's the Black Knight.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I know, everybody was thinking he was going to be Wolverine, and I saw all this stuff on the internet being like, yes, Wolverine.
Okay, I'm going to be real. Yeah, you saw it from me, too, because I said it, and you were like, what?
Yeah.
No, for real, like, he would have been a good Wolverine, I think.
Yeah.
I think he would have been.
I agree.
And it would have been... I think the only issue is Wolverine needs to be a complete unknown, now that I think about it.
Mm.
Because they're going to find their Wolverine and sign him to, like, an 11-picture deal.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be in freaking everything. The rumors I'm hearing now is that they're going to introduce him in a Wolverine, or they're going to include a Wolverine versus Hulk movie. Because Wolverine and Hulk fight all the time. I don't know. They do. I don't know, man. Let's just let these guys fight. But they need to find someone that's, like, really short. The best suggestion I saw for Wolverine is they should get the guy from Letterkenny. Do you guys watch Letterkenny?
I don't know that.
Okay, go on YouTube and look up Letterkenny. Just watch a little bit. That's your homework for our next episode. It's so dumb.
Okay.
It's a comedy about dudes that live in, like, rural Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
But they're, like, really, really woke, because they're, like, it's really, really funny. Like, one of the guys recommends everyone go meet his women's studies professor at the university.
Oh, yeah.
And so, it's so good, guys. But, like, at the end of the day, they're simple farm folk from rural Ontario, Canada. It's so good. Anyway, yeah. So Kit Harington is going to be the Black Knight, and it's super typecasting, because it's a brooding dude that has to make up for his family's legacy or whatever, and I'm just like, all right, whatever. But it's fine, because the Black Knight is a cool character and deserves a place in the MCU.
Yeah. Richard Madden is also going to be an Eternal. He played Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. So that was interesting. And then Angelina Jolie, like, that was the surprise to me.
She's been announced before. Like, But yeah.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't really paying attention to it before, but it's like, you know, sort of somewhat well-known actor, somewhat well-known actor, and then Angelina Jolie, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
I mean, like, she's, it's not like she's doing a lot of work.
Yeah, I guess. Well, she's been Maleficent. Like, maybe that was, that's how they roped her in.
Yeah, okay.
Like, yeah.
But, like, Maleficent, like, she was kind of almost born to play that part. She, like, looks like Maleficent.
Yeah.
She might even be evil like her. I don't know.
The other thing that was hard, it's still hard for me to get over, and I don't remember the actor's name, but he is on Silicon Valley, and that's the only thing I've ever seen.
Oh, Hasan Minhaj.
And I just, yes. Yeah. I just cannot get past his character on Silicon Valley because
that's all you see when you see him.
That's all I see when I see him.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But you know what? We'll get past it. We'll get past it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just saw like a coked out rom-com actor when Robert Downey Jr. was Iron Man first. And now,
that's
like
true.
Iron Man now in the comics now looks like him. He's so iconic. So.
Yeah.
Well, he always had such a good face.
Yeah. And the sort of manic, like, he was the perfect actor to cast.
Oh, no, it was absolute brilliant casting, and they caught him just at the right time. He was perfect casting. Did you see the rumors flying around that he's going to be reprising the role of Iron Man as a voice acting role, not for What If, but as an AI like Friday and Jarvis for Riri Williams, who is Ironheart.
Mm.
Because in the comics, Ironheart, who is a female version, you know, like she's a young black girl, super smart and builds her own Iron Man suit after stumbling upon an AI that is programmed with Tony Stark's personality. Like, tell me that wouldn't be an awesome movie. So they just make Ironheart, and it's Tony Stark talking to her through her helmet. That would be bananas good.
All right, so was that basically everything
yes.
that came out of Disney? We pulled the trigger on Disney Plus. Sorry, folks, this is not going on anymore, but they had this amazing offer that it was just too good to pass up. And you know what? I actually think, you know, Disney should give us a free month or something, because based on my Facebook post, I think I got about 6 to 8 people to sign up.
You totally did. You were like basically a technical writer, because people were like, I don't know how to do that.
I know.
Some of my the people from the Family Gamers, Andrew and Anitra, did the same thing, because he's like, oh my goodness, I just signed up for $3 a month. And somebody was like, well, that means you'd have to pay to join D23. And he's just like, no, this is where you go. And so he had to give that, and the guy just kept challenging him on it. And he's like, dude, just follow the... And so eventually he just did a series of screenshots to show him how to sign up. It's like, come on, this isn't that hard. Yeah, man.
Well, at least nobody was challenging me. So.
Well, yeah, they believed you. They did not... This dude did not believe Andrew. It was the funniest thing. I'm like, just don't be stupid and just read the website. It's not hard. Like,
at all.
I mean, if you can't do it, right? Like, if you can't buy it all at once, or if you're not interested, like, that's different. Don't, like, disbelieve people. It's not like it's some trick. We're not buying it from some weird Shopify channel. We're buying it from literally D23 website.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I know, we were waffling, but, you know, we...
For $3 a month.
Yeah, you kind of have to. And it's for 3 years, so... Again, sorry, listeners. If you missed out on
But guess what? Even if you did miss out on
it. One weekend.
Even if you did miss out on it, it's still only $8 a month. So, like.
Yeah.
Right.
It's still.
And I'm
very
sure there will be
price.
A monthly discount thing on Black Friday, which will be shortly after it comes out. Bet you they'll have a deal then.
Yes, they probably will. All right. So, was there anything else then?
We can talk about the guy.
Disney.
Oh, not D23. I'm just waiting for us to talk about the Stand.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go to that now. So, they just announced... Well, Stephen King was... and we'll do more Stephen King in a minute. Stephen King was promoting his new book. And at one of the places that he was... where he was speaking, he announced some people that are going to be in the Stand's mini not miniseries, regular series is going to be coming to CBS All Access. I don't think they have a release date for it yet. But anyhow, the news that was that broke today from someone else that Stephen King didn't actually announce is that Alexander Skarsgård is going to be Randall Flagg. And oh my god, that is completely perfect. Because, like, again, like, I haven't seen him in much, but based on his character in Big Little Lies, I'm like, this is
brilliant. Oh, he was in True Blood as well.
Oh, was he? Yeah, he's going to be perfect for this character. So very much looking forward to that. And I'm very surprised that Stephen actually read that book.
Yeah, man. Yeah, right? Like,
he likes Stephen King. You've talked about Stephen King before.
Yeah, the state. I went on like a super post-apocalyptic kick, but like, but it had to be very specific because the thing that I don't like is zombies, right? And like a lot of post-apocalyptic fiction ends up being like zombie stuff. And The Stand was like super different, for me because it started off like super believable, right? Like the way that it all goes down. And I, like, absolutely believe that that's a way that things could work. And that freaked me out. I mean, obviously, it took some turns and went some places. But, I could not put that book down. I literally could not. Yeah. I was reading it at work. Like, I couldn't stop. I am very excited about this television, the CBS All Access incarnation. Love James Marsden. I love that cast. I'm in. Super in. Yeah. And it's going to be, 10 episodes?
I don't know. I haven't looked up that much stuff. I just, I didn't know that it was even coming until recently, and then I saw it was CBS All Access. I went to Isaac. I'm like, hey, look, we're going to have another reason to have this thing.
Another reason. That's two.
Instead of just Star Trek.
Yeah, it'll be justified.
They are relevant two times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Picard series is coming, so there.
Yes, that's
there'll
true.
Be three.
The funny thing is,
it's three.
When we load up the app on the TV, you know, most of the stuff that pops up is like ads for their like regular network stuff. So like, you know, all the crazy reality TV that just looks terrible. It's like Star Trek doesn't even belong. In this, even though I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, it just does not belong with the rest of this stuff. But anyhow, so. But speaking of Stephen King, I went and saw It Chapter 2 today. It was nowhere near as scary as I thought it was going to be. And I do think it suffered from the horror movie problem of once you show the
monster.
Yeah, and I think it really sort of emphasized for me why the flipping back and forth between the present and the past, the way it was done in the book works better than how they did it in the movie. Because as you're reading the book, like you're in the present and then you've got these flashbacks. But as you know, as you're reading, you don't know what actually happened in the past. So there's a suspense. So you want to keep reading. But the way they chopped up the movie is that you already know what happened. So that's what, I mean, it was still really good. I still really liked it. But it sort of like really showed you why the book was better and actually like makes me somewhat interested in, you know, that director said that he would probably be trying to cut the two movies together into one. So I'd be interested to see how that turns out. But one of the things that's funny is that Stephen King actually has a bit part in the movie, which is pretty funny. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's very awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays like a crotchety old shop owner. It was awesome. It was really good.
He's good. He's a really good, personable author, like a personality. He has a home in Bangor, Maine that I've been... I never saw him there, but I went past it a couple
of
times.
That's where I was born.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
I was born in Bangor, Maine.
It's a great town.
And so
that explains a lot.
In proximity to Stephen King.
So. I have my dad actually has a signed copy of The Stand because he ran into him at a bar.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Like, he's one of those celebrities where, like, people, he'll be outside his house and people will walk up and say, can you sign this or can I take your picture? And he'll just, like, oh, sure.
He's got, like, a wrought iron, like, spider web fence outside of his house.
It is so cool.
And the lights.
Oh, God, it is.
And the other thing that you don't find out, because most of the time when you walk by his house or drive by it, it's during the day, is that the lights in his house are always on. Because if you were stuck in his head, you wouldn't want the dark either. Also, he can afford the electric bills. I'm sure that that's part of it. But,
right.
You know, trick-or-treating his house
awesome.
Is a trick.
I saw him. Yeah, I bet. I saw him speak when I was in San Francisco, and he told this really funny story. You know, he's older now, so he, like, you know, lives in Florida during the winter and stuff like that. But he said that, like, he ran into this woman in the grocery store. And she recognized him and she sort of berated him for writing all this sort of trash or, you know, crazy stuff. But then she told him, she's like, you know what? You should write something like that Shawshank Redemption. Having no idea that he actually wrote the
Wrote
Shawshank.
Yeah.
And he said he was like flabbergasted. He didn't even really know what to say.
Well, what do you say to that?
Yeah. But yeah, so it was funny that he was in it. There were tons of trailers. They showed the trailer for the Sleep Doctor, obviously, or Doctor Sleep, or whatever it's called, the sequel to The Shining. So I am cautiously excited about that. I don't know. Somewhat skeptical, but we'll see. Yeah, there were lots of trailers for random stuff. There were a ton. It seemed like there were much more than... I mean, there are lots for all movies now, but it seemed like Avengers level of trailers, where it's like literally like half hour to 45 minutes. Because like, I went to the bathroom before we went into the theater, and I had to go again by the time the trailers were over. Isaac's like, what are you doing? You're going to miss this. But, you know, we're in the Dolby Cinema, and they do this thing before they start showing the movie that's like shows off all the cool Dolby
stuff. Sound.
Like the sound and the high definition and all that kind of stuff. But lately they've been having like a trailer like tacked on after that. Like you think all the trailers are over, but then there's one tacked on. So when I went to the bathroom, came back into the theater, the movie was actually just starting. There had been another trailer.
There had been another trailer.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, it was good. I do recommend it. Not as scary as the first one.
The first one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but still pretty good. What else? I watched The Dark Crystal, both a movie again, and the Netflix series. I watched the movie with Anna, and as happens with so much things that I loved when I was a kid, I tried to get her excited about them, and she's just like, nah, it was okay. She thought the Skeksis were funny, actually. I was like, because before we started watching it, she's like, oh, is this scary? And, you know, I was, like, not going to, like, tell her it was scary because then that was just going to project things onto her. I'm like, no, it's not scary at all. And then she started laughing at them. And the only thing that sort of she was scared a little bit at were the Gartham, the big beetle soldier guys.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so she wasn't that into it. But then I watched the television series. Very good. Very highly recommended. It is really... really well done. And then they have this huge, like, 2-hour documentary of how they made it. And that was super interesting, too, because when they first were getting ready to do the show, they were going to do it CG. But then they moved into, you know, using the actual puppets. It was really good. It was a really good story. Very much looking forward to them doing it. More the first couple episodes felt like they were sort of tossing the canon from the movie out the window, and it was super like obvious to me because I had literally just watched it the day before, and I'm like, wait a second, like, because anybody who knows, it was very unclear at the start of the series whether or not the crystal was actually cracked, which is a very important mark in time. Because it's very, very plot specific. Lots of things happen because the crystal cracks. But it turned out it was, yeah, they were still using it. It's interesting though too that to see some of the people who are doing the voices for some of the characters now, like, and I had no idea. So Simon Pegg is actually voicing Chamberlain, the Skeksi that's always sort of like, you know, which is kind of funny. But yeah, it was good. It was good.
I've heard that. I haven't watched it. I remember watching the movie, but I haven't. I haven't watched the series. But everybody who is talking about it on social media is saying good things. So,
yeah, I didn't know if I was gonna like it or not, but
yeah,
I liked it a lot. It was really well done.
We want desperately to watch the Dark Crystal. The issue is, well, okay, I say we. That's like me with my Venom symbiote, because like I want to. Like, my wife has no real, like, she wants to, kind of, but she never saw it. Right. And then,
yeah, I saw she was asking on Facebook, like, taking a poll of whether or not she should watch
it. Yeah, and everybody was like, no, for real, you should watch it. You're a dork. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like a cultural touchstone you should at least watch. And it's like, the boys, like, Maggie, I think, is a little too young for it. Because she's a more delicate soul than your daughter, Nicole. I mean, I'm just saying.
Comparing to my, like, super hypersensitive child, yeah. Who still won't watch movies, even ones she's seen, because they're too scary, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. So, yeah. And you're bringing her to Geek Girl Con this year, right?
I think so, yeah. Okay.
It'll be funny.
Wait until she sees like a little sister cosplay, and then it'd be like, it's all over. I'm out of here. Yeah. Like Bayonetta will walk by, and she'll be like, she'll like pass out. It'll be fine.
She might.
Or like Hell from Thor Ragnarok.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if it's actually Kate Blanchett, that would be cool. But probably not. So yeah, it's like that's on the list of like not things that not like. The fake list of things that I tell you that I'm going to watch and then never do. Like, that's on the things that, like, I really liked The Dark Crystal. Yeah. And so I want to watch the original, and then I want to watch the show. It's just a matter of finding time. And it got real busy around here recently. Because, you know, and it's LARP season, too. And so that's, because I haven't done that in a very long time, but now I'm back. Because my son is going to be old enough to play next year.
Right.
Which is terrifying, but now I like
his voice cracked.
It's terrifying, because you know he's like a man now, like it's really weird. But so now I have like a whole new like it's half of my LARP career. I get to go and help my kid have fun, which I think is neat. But that means I don't have time to watch.
Yeah,
books and comics.
Margaret Atwood's latest book, the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale, came out this week. It's called The Testaments. I downloaded it right away the day it came out. I read about 100 or so pages. I had been fairly in the dark about the plot, so it actually surprised me a little bit who the characters are in it. Regina, do you care if I say?
Oh,
or do you want
a little...
me to not say?
A little. I saw you tweet that, and I was like, oh, no, I want to know.
Yeah, that's why I was vague in that tweet. I didn't want to give stuff away. Okay, so anyhow, it's really good. I was surprised.
I'm going to have to go get it.
The characters in it, yeah. So I'm only about 100 pages in, but super interesting. I really like it thus far. So yeah, and I have to download Stephen King's new book, too, which came out on the same day. As Margaret, that doesn't happen very often when two of my favorite authors release a book on the same day.
Well, and two really big authors on the same day, too.
You would think that, I mean, I guess there's not that much overlap, but you would think that they would, like, know and, like, stagger it. Or does that not matter in book publishing? It's not the same as...
I don't know. I don't think it's quite the same. Because I think
I don't think sales work the same way.
Yeah. And also I think with books, you know... The library is a big thing, so people, like, don't necessarily buy books all that often, you know, rather, you know, just get them from the library. I'm not one of those people. I buy them all the time. But yeah, books are, they're really different than games and movies as far mm-hmm. as releases and stuff go.
I don't think they worry so much about, like, who shows up to buy a book on the first day the way that they worry about who yeah. shows up to buy a game or goes out to the movie on a first day.
I would
day.
Imagine that books have a longer tail, unless they're, like, yeah. a mega hit. But, like, yeah. you know, yeah. Stephen King's automatic.
Or mega hits yeah. have super long tails. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how many copies of Harry Potter are still selling.
Well, I mean, right, is that a mega hit?
I was going to say, or are there series?
Is that a mega hit, or is that... Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Regina.
That's fine. It's canon.
Is Harry Potter, like, a mega hit, or is that, like, the Bible, like, it just, it prints and it will never stop selling.
That's what I was saying. It's canon. Like, it's not, you know, it's the mythology of our time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think the point I was trying to make was that, you know, books that are series have a longer tail too. Because yeah. what happens is the new one comes out and then people go back. Because that's what happened for me with Harry Potter. I think they were on book two. Book two was out when I started reading it, right?
Yeah, for me it was four.
Yeah, but you start, four comes out and you learn about it and you're like, oh, this looks really cool. And then you have to go back and catch up. And so then that, like, you know, changes the sales of things too. So I think they just don't work the numbers the same way.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. So that's cool. I'll definitely report back when I finish it. I probably will have finished it by the next time.
Next time we talk.
Yeah, that's very likely. That's very likely.
Yeah. It would be weird if I hadn't. All right. So have you guys been reading anything? I was just going to go into, like, that's it, but I didn't ask you.
I started a book called Because Internet. Which is a, it is.
Where did I see that? Did you post a picture of it?
It was, my wife posted a picture of all the books we brought home from the library.
Yes.
Cause our trip to the library, speaking of when you said, you know, libraries are a big thing, like we went, so Evan and Jacob both got grounded from electronics for an absurd amount of time. Like Jacob lost it for at least 3 weeks, at least. Which in our house is an absurd amount of time. I know some parents are a little harsher than us, but, like, I need my kids to play games for my work. So grounding them indefinitely sucks for me.
Yeah.
So we went to the library and brought home, like, I think Megan took out, like, 9 books. And I took home Because Internet. Basically, it's a linguistic study of the effect that the internet has had on our language. And it's actually kind of interesting. The author is...
Yeah, it sounds really interesting.
The author is funny, which I think...
She's going to be speaking at something, because in addition to, like, writing actual stories for GeekWire, I do manage their community calendar as well. And she's going to be speaking somewhere out here, because I remember creating an event about it.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome. So, I mean, she's if she speaks the, you know, with the same... tone that she writes, it's going to be a hilarious talk. I mean, she's witty, and she's writing about stuff that's objectively stupid, right? Like, just internet memes and, like, meme culture and, like, the way that the internet has changed language, but, like, she's talking about it in a very intelligent way, but she's being funny about it, and I really respect that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not super far into it, because, you know, I'm reading slowly because there's, you know, I'm really trying to understand it, and you guys know I'm not the brightest guy, so, but it's super fascinating. So that is my addition. It's literally called Because Internet.
Because Internet,
which is
I know.
A reasonable title considering the subject, because blank is
actually
a valid phrase now, no matter what, no matter what your English teacher says. It's actually a valid thing. Just don't put it in your college term papers or, like, Regina will get mad. But, like, term papers are different than, like, actual speech, guys. Just, you know, they use old English, basically. It's
yes. Yay, okay, and verily unto thee. No, I'm not reading anything. I'm surviving the first weeks of class.
Right.
That's all there is.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, you can send an email to geekingmoms@gmail.com. That is also our handle on Twitter, and we have a Facebook page. You can check us out on there. I keep saying I write for the Geek Embassy, but I haven't written for the Geek Embassy. I'm going to write this week. I have my topic. Okay. I'm definitely going to write this week about how...
I need to blast everybody because, like, the entire writing staff has dropped off. But I can't blame anybody because I've dropped off, too. So, you know, I know we'll get back. We'll get back.
Because it's one thing that has been, like, rattling around in my head was how I thought that the whole Prince Who Was Promised thing just... was not resolved at all in the show, but going backwards, knowing that Arya is the one who kills the Night King, I've been going back and finding the signs of that prophecy that make sense for her. So I'm going to write about that.
Yes, please.
I also just got back into my Geeky Thrones Girl podcast.
Yay!
So yeah, you should check that out. That is on Anchor, or you can listen to it anywhere. And then if you want to ping me, my Twitter is @NicoleTanner. Regina is head geek at the Geek Embassy, which is going to...
We're coming back. We're going to make a comeback. I'm going to make a comeback at some point.
Yeah.
Not sure when. Yes, however, this will probably be up right before, but, I'm presenting at Rose City Comic Con this weekend, my What's Your Gamer Tape panel, which is based on my dissertation research, which I practiced twice today in two of my classes, because I told them I was extending a deadline for them because I had to go to Comic Con, and they all laughed, and I'm like, no, really? I have to present at Comic-Con, and they're like, you're doing what? And I'm like, yes, I'm cool. And they're like, show us your research. And I'm like, are you serious? And they're like, yes, we are. We want to know. And I'm like, all right. So,
nice.
So that's very Saturday, cool. September 14th. If anybody's in the area, please come. 2:30, room 3. Should be a good time.
That's like soon.
It's
this weekend.
It's this weekend. It's 3 days from now. It's why. Well, we were supposed to record last night, and I couldn't do that because I had to have the presentation ready today for my students.
Right.
I'm still not ready to present it at the con, but it's ready. It was ready for my students.
I know that was actually like I was confused. You're like, I got to get ready for like Rose City, and I'm like, wait a second. It's not until this weekend. Like really? But yeah, that makes more sense now that your students wanted to see it. So.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The trial runs were today. So
nice.
Yes. So come see that. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I will be back at Game On Girl too. I swear it's happening.
Nice. Awesome. Steven is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming. What's going on over there, Steven?
Stuff. So we're almost at episode 200. I said that before, but we like are legit. Like we just recorded 196 yesterday, so it's like
cool
for real. At which point, the big goal, the thing that I announced yesterday is we're gonna have a string of guests starting with episode 201 and going as long as I can keep the streak going. I'm gonna treat it like Snapchat. Mm. You know, you want to get like a streak by doing something every day. I don't know that the two of you actually know, because I don't know if you use Snapchat. I don't, but I've been told that streaks are important. So I'm going to keep that up.
Yes.
So the two of you can count on me totally abusing our friendship to continue my streak by having the both of you on my show. We'll talk about it later. But it's... that's like kind of our big focus. We're kind of turning more into a podcast network than... a one-man podcast network than a blog, but whatever, man, you go where the content goes, and I like podcasting, as you guys know, because I got up at midnight to do it. The other thing is, this weekend, on the 14th, while you are off, like, doing super important things and giving really cool talks, I will be a judge at the Boston Festival of Independent Games, and Engage Family Gaming will be presenting the Best Family Game category.
Nice.
So, I'm a judge, and Linda, my managing board game editor, is a judge, and my son Evan is a judge. And the three of us are going to go and play a bunch of games and give out and actually give out an award. And the Figgies are a pretty big deal in the Boston gaming community. So I'm really looking forward to that. B-Fig is one of my favorite shows. So look on my Instagram because I'll have lots of pictures.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back in a few weeks.
Bye.
Bye.